Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Ron?
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show. Using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Man, Wayne, you there?
What's going on there? We just
all right.
Had a little technical difficulty, so I guess we're on the air now.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good, great, okay, wonderful. All right, yeah, there's a little. Yeah, that's why we're leaving. That's why I'm leaving this. That's why we're going to. So.
Well, listen, we're going to make it work until we move on up.
Yeah, we're going to work it out until we move on up. Everybody, we got, seems like we got things back in order here. Welcome again to the Ron Kelly Show with the Honorable Irvington Mayor Wayne Smith. It's right here on blogtalkradio.com. I'd like to thank you again so much for joining us today. And boy, it has been a busy week. Yes, we have a lot to talk about today. Shout out to my fellow classmates at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Having a great time over there, and it's good to be around industry people and people like myself who are ready to take it to the next level and jump into this crazy business. But first, I need to welcome Mayor Wayne, the Honorable, I should say, the Honorable.
Oh, man. Just
Mayor
how about Wayne?
All right. Well, all right, Wayne, the Honorable Wayne Smith. How are you, Mayor Wayne? How's it going?
All right, pretty good, man. We, like you said, I guess we had a lot to talk about this week, a lot of developments in the world.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. And start down with the Sandra Bland. You know, and the funny thing about it, you know, Trump, the Trump bump is still, you know, the Trump bump is still at the top of the news. Because what happened yesterday, and a lot of people were kind of put off by this, what happened was during the Sandra Bland news conference, when they were telling us what happened and everything, many of the major news stations switched over to Trump down in Mexico. Now, who cares, gives a hoot about Donald Trump? But they switched over from the Sandra Bland news conference when the prosecutor was spelling out the things that happened to this young woman. They switched off, man. Wayne, they switched off and went over to Donald Trump. So the Trump bump is still alive and well.
They're saying that the media is actually assisting Donald maintain his number one status. If they were not covering him the way they were, people think that he would not have that status. Now, I still don't believe it's going to last, though he's got some help from Ron Perry. You heard about Ron Perry, right?
Rick Perry,
yeah. You heard
about
him, right?
So he's fighting with everybody.
No, but he appealed the indictment. They dismissed one charge, but they let the case go forward. So he lost his appeal.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because he, as a matter of fact, Rick Perry, everybody, the former governor of the state of Texas, who was forced to resign because of the allegations against him. What Rick Perry actually did was he used his influence to try to get rid of a DA, a local DA, by defunding her office.
Right.
And which was illegal.
Mm.
And and subsequently he had to resign his office as the governor of Texas. But yeah, they're going. He's going back and forth. I mean, Trump is just disrespecting everybody. He disrespected Lindsey Graham by giving out Lindsey Graham's phone number.
You see the commercial where the guy's beating up his telephone, cutting it up.
Yeah, that was like a kind of throw off on that. And then another thing that he did was he talked about
Trump made a point, and as crazy as he is, because I've been calling him McDonald Trump. He's funny. He's a bigger clown than Ronald McDonald, so I've been calling him McDonald Trump. But Trump said one thing that's really, really important. When we talk about the politics of America, he gave out Lindsey Graham's phone number to do one point. This guy was begging me for money. That's why I got his number. And, right. You know, he said in his interview with, I think, Anderson Cooper, that, you know, the money chase in politics is so horrendous that, you know, you just can't be the guy with the most integrity, the best, you know, kind of the most intelligent candidate. You got to have dough in order to compete in this thing. And so, and you know, you wonder, and he's saying, look, all of them call me for money. And he says, we control them all. Interesting
right.
observation. Now, because of other craziness, nobody wants to have that discussion. But he says, look, they all call me for money. And some of them are afraid to say something to him because they want some of that money. You know, Christie's being nice
right.
to him. Even Jeb Bush is being relatively nice to him.
Right, because he's many of them are afraid, probably because he has a little dirt on all of them, you know. So we'll talk about that as well. And also, Sandra Bland was the black woman who wound up dead in her jail cell, and her autopsy report was released yesterday. We'll get into that. And why are black people so suspicious of the police? And they are, and with good reason. Also, President Obama takes a trip to Kenya, where his father was born, and you know they're back again. It's the rebirth of the birthers. You remember the birthers who
he's not a U.S. citizen, right?
Well, they're still 6.5 years later. They're still around. It's the rebirth of the birthers. You know, it's hard to believe that after more than 6 years, these poor, demented creatures are still lurking around with this stupid notion that President Obama was born in Kenya or somewhere other than the United States of America and that he's not a citizen. All right, you can get at us on the R. Kelly Show hotline at 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. Also, at the Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, it's R. Kelly SR. And we'll also be talking about it. It's another random theater shooting 3 years after the Colorado theater shooting. And this time, two young ladies were killed and 7 people were wounded. Now, if this isn't the case for open carry laws, then there is none. I posted on my Facebook page earlier about open carry laws and that these gun laws. Gun laws are leaving us open to carjackings and such. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on, too, everybody. So welcome to the show. Now, Sandra Bland, see, this is the thing with this Sandra Bland thing. You know, and I was watching a video this afternoon, anyway, before we came on the show, about a pregnant woman in Barstow, Texas, who was manhandled because she didn't give her name. Now, I have to agree that, I mean, all she had to do was give them her name, you know. Many activists and such, Mayor Wayne, you probably heard this yourself, have said to people, like, look, cooperate and then sue later. You know what I mean? And this pregnant woman, she had gotten to something with another lady. They were going to school to pick up their kids. And something happened with the parking space or whatever. And so it was a white woman. And she called the police on the black woman, and the black woman was pregnant. So when the police approached her and asked her what her name was, she wouldn't give them her name, you know. And she should have given them her name. If it was something that simple, she should have given them her name. So that's the thing that people are saying. They just cooperate, and you
can sue later.
Yeah, and I agree.
I agree, to save your life, you should cooperate. But both the police need to know what's constitutional. Now, was the woman under suspicion? So the cop should have explained to her, listen, ma'am, you fit the description of a Southern da 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 da. You know, you she could have said, are you placing me under arrest, officer? If you're placing me under arrest, I invoke my right to not to say anything. Give you my name. I'm invoking my right to counsel. So there's a, you know, what was so appalling to me about Miss Bland, that she should not have been arrested in the first place. Because, a change signal or something that she didn't change, a signal in the lane, that's what the allegation was.
Yeah, she failed to
She was saying it without saying it directly was, why do I have to get out of the car? Am I under arrest?
Right. She was arrested for failing to signal a lane change.
In most places, that's a summons. That's not, you don't get arrested for that. Unless the guy's making an allegation of where he's going to make you take a breathalyzer because he thinks you're drunk or something, or he smells. In that case, he's got to tell the person what they think and then give her an opportunity to get out. So I think she was right constitutionally, but it doesn't matter about the Constitution if you're dead. And that's why the ethos is, you know, cooperate to the extent that you can. That's what I tell my son. And we'll fight them later, but I want you to get from that scene alive.
Right. And see, and that's the thing now. And the other thing, too, is now she didn't cooperate with the police. And when you don't cooperate with the police, it gives them an opportunity to act fool, which is what this cop did, you know. And now the other thing, too, is why does she wind up in jail? I mean, there's so many questions here. Now, the autopsy report, it was given by the county prosecutor. And according to, you know, the autopsy report, there was nothing wrong with her physically. And it appeared to be a suicide. But my thing is now, they're saying there was marijuana in her system. Now, where did she get marijuana after being in jail for 3 days? Now, I'm sure they did cavity search and all that stuff to her to make sure that she didn't have any drugs on her. So where did she get marijuana from? Because from the rate of marijuana that was in her system, she had to have it while she was in jail. So where did that come from?
I don't know. I think, you know, what this is just my kind of working knowledge of it, like with potential employees, that sometimes that stuff can last a week or more in your system.
Right. But they're saying
flush it out with vinegar or whatever. So listen,
right.
I don't know. They could have even mixed her report up. Who knows?
Right. They're saying that the amount of marijuana that was in her system, you know, she had to have had it while she was in prison, while she was in jail. Because, you know, there's traces. If you smoke a joint today, there's going to be traces of that joint in your system 30 days from now. But the traces are going to be minuscule. It's not going to be anything. It's going to barely register on the scale. But they're saying that she had enough marijuana in her system as if she had just smoked it, even though she'd been in jail for 3 days. So why was she arrested? Why was she in jail for 3 days? Why did she get a bail? I mean, there's so many questions here. And, you know, why was that plastic bag left in the garbage can? Where have you seen a garbage can in the prison cell in the first place? Where have you seen a garbage can in the prison cell? And there was a plastic bag in that garbage can, which they're saying that she hung herself with a plastic bag. Now, I just, you know, this is too many suspicious.
There's a lot of unanswered questions here.
There's a lot of unanswered questions. And see, and this is the problem, Mae Wayne. And everybody who's listening, 347-426-3214, we have an opinion. See, this is the problem with the police. Now, the police, we all know the police, and man, Wayne, you have headed, you have presided over a township that had a moderately considerable police force. And police officers are treated differently than average citizens. If a police officer, like, okay, for example, that police officer who arrested her was put on modified duty or death duty, you know. So that's telling you right there. I mean, if it was a clean arrest and there was nothing wrong, then why was he put on death duty?
Yeah, he should have been, based on that videotape, punished more severely than that. But,
And that's the other thing. That's the other thing. They don't get, they have 24 to 48 hours before they have to say anything to anybody.
Texas. I know that's in New York.
Yeah, it's all over the place. They have 24 to 48 hours to respond to any questions. They got time to go get counsel and all of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? 24 to 48 hours.
There's no hour requirement in New Jersey. I know New York has that. New York has that, I believe. Some states do have that. I don't know if all states have it.
All states do have it because the union is the same. It's the PBA.
If you can get your union rep there right then you can do that.
Right. Because it's the PBA.
It's up to the person. He has that. But if you don't have a union rep, then you don't have to. Then you're entitled to some days for a scheduled hearing. But if you don't, if your union guy's there and you're willing to talk, then you can do that. Ideas in government in New Jersey, I've never really heard them say that you can't talk 48 hours or whatever.
They do have, it's in several places, they do have
there's no doubt about there are places like that around the country. I just don't know if Texas is one of them.
Yeah, Texas is one of them where you can, Texas is one of them where you have 24 to 48 hours. And you see these shootings going all around the country, man, and they get the same thing. They got 24 to 48 hours before they even have to answer any questions. If it seems suspicious or if there seems to be some egregious behavior, they get modified duty or they get suspended with pay. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things that make black folks suspicious of police officers because of the way they are treated after they do something wrong. And they're treated like, you know, let me kill somebody. They're not going to give me 24 to 48 hours to report or ask questions. They're going to want to question me right then and there. You know what I'm saying? I don't have that same luxury. And this is why black folks are suspicious of police officers, because they get treated differently than everybody else. And because of that, I think that absolute power, Mayor Wayne, corrupts absolutely. And I think that because of that, this is why police officers behave, some of them, behave the way they do, because they know that they've got all these safeguards built in, you know, things where they can virtually get away with some of these egregious acts. And this is why they act the way they do. I think is if the laws were changed, where they went to jail like everybody else, and they had to get a lawyer like everybody else, things would be different. Like the case in Charleston, in East Charleston, when the man got shot in the back and killed. That was so ridiculous that they had to throw him in jail right then and there because of the nature of that. I mean, the man was running away, shot him in the back, and that was that. I mean, so there was no 48 hours. I mean, he got arrested like right away. After the video was shown, he was arrested by it. Because the video didn't come out until a couple of days after he killed the man. You know, so this is why black folks are so suspicious of police officers, because of the special treatment that they get when they do something wrong. But right now, we'll take a quick break, everybody. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this. We'll talk about Colorado, another theater shooting in Colorado, and why we need open carry laws in all 50 states. Why do we need it now? We'll talk about that in a whole lot more in a moment. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Mayor Wayne Smith, and it's on Block Talk Radio.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching on society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on YourTalkRadio.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETTPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating. Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Friday, July 24th, 2015. I want to thank you once again for joining us here today, myself and Wayne Smith. You can get at us at 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. It's the best show you probably never heard. It's Ron Kelly show. We were talking before we went to break, we were talking about Sandra Bland and Mayor Wayne. And I think that some of these folks who are going on television, some of the black activists and such, are right. People, I mean, I know, you know, she was antithetical because of the way this police officer acted, but all of that stuff was being filmed, you know, all of that stuff. And also, in addition to that, the Sandra Bland thing, Ava DuVernay, who is the director of Selma, has said that the film, the footage has been altered.
Yeah, in both places, there was concern that the film was altered at the arrest site and also at the cell site.
Right. The film
because they said, you know, there was nothing that showed anybody doing anything near the cell. So then, they showed a car coming back twice in the footage in front of the cop. They replayed the same footage before the arrest, so if they altered the film, then you don't know what really happened to invoke that situation for her to be arrested. Because, I mean, why would they even have to change it if he did everything correctly?
Right, because you don't see, you see her on the ground, but we don't know how she got there.
Right.
You know, it seemed like it skipped from her getting out of the car to, you know, so there's definitely something rotten in Denmark, as they say, with the situation, because, you know, why was she, I mean, even though she was acting belligerently, unless she struck the officer or refused to identify herself, then, you know, because if you don't identify yourself, you can't be arrested for that. You don't have, you choose not to identify yourself. Now, the other thing with the cigarette, you know what, he said, I'll light you up. I guess he had the taser, pointing at it. I mean, that's not the kind of language that you use
Yeah, well, you know, I get it. The way I interpret that is that I hurt you. I'm like,
right. Ah. You're gonna light me up, right? You're gonna light me up.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this guy's off the chain.
Yeah, that could mean that you're gonna shoot me or something
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, this guy. And she was correct in one thing. She said, I don't have to get out of the car. The only thing she didn't say, are you placing me under arrest? And he never did say you're under arrest.
No.
He just started dragging her out the car.
Right. He didn't put her under arrest. Right. So I'm like, wait a minute now. There's something going on here. And then the film seems to skip from when they were walking around to the back of the car and then she winds up on the ground.
He was going to arrest her. She was absolutely right. He just said, ma'am, I'm placing you under arrest for XYZ. Put your hands on the steering wheel or step out of the car and then, you know, put your hands behind your back. Let me cuff you. That's the way it should have been done if he was going to arrest her. So she was right, correct, not to move. He never told her she was under arrest.
Right.
And if she was under arrest, he was supposed to read her a Miranda right. Never read her. Isn't that correct? Got to read him the Miranda rights.
Yeah, if he's going to arrest her, he should have read her her rights. The rights made
right.
Her be silent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you didn't hear that. He didn't do that, or it was cut out, or he did something egregious. And this thing was cut out. So I'm like, okay, something is going on here. And see, this is, and again, you know, as I said earlier before the break, this is why police officers are under such suspicion, and especially in the black community. You know, and I know some good police officers. I'm not going to say they're all like that, but they are highly scrutinized in the black community because of the way they get treated. So I guess we'll find out. Hopefully, at some point, we'll find out.
Did the federal government, from what I understand, the family was asking?
Now, that.
No, the family. I'm not. The church shooting in Charleston got a federal indictment.
Is the feds going to investigate it and see what happened? Because I thought that's what the family asked for, that the feds should come in and at least do an investigation of this thing.
Well, they should, because there's something obviously wrong here. There's something wrong here. Everything's not adding up. Why was she in jail for failing to signal? Why? And for 3 days at that, why was she given a bail? Why did she go through all of that? She didn't assault the officer or anything like that. So I'm wondering why. You know. So I guess at some point we'll find out what's going on with the Sandra Bland thing. Hopefully her family will let go of it. And maybe hopefully we won't let go of it, because we are pitiful when it comes to responding to these type of things. Just straight up pitiful. And
there has been some sustained effort around this, more so than I've seen in recent years. So, you know, people have their issues with Reverend Sharpton. But Sharpton has kept the Garner case, the Michael Brown case. He's kept those cases alive. And, in fact, in the Garner case, they reached a settlement without going to court. And the family said, this money will never give us the justice that it required. We still want a federal investigation of this thing. And so, you know, as Black Lives Matter, we've got a whole cadre of young people that stepped up to the plate and really been on a whole host of issues around the country. So I do see some traction about our ability to try to weather some of these storms and fight back. It was funny, I used to chair a nonprofit organization that deals with children in Newark. You know, I grew up in Newark, and I recently, because of business, had to resign as chair, but the executive director emailed me today. She was so frustrated, I guess, after, you know, listening to the Bland case. She said, can't we take the country to, with all the stuff going around the question of race around the country, can't we present this to the United Nations? And, I laughed because, you know, Malcolm, many people believe that he was assassinated because he was bringing this to the question of race to the United Nations. And there are groups right now who have raised this issue to the United Nations. There was even a world forum on race where some of these things that have happened in the United States have been pointed out. And so I told her to Google, because there's a whole host of people that, in fact, have presented stuff to the UN which leaves our country in a precarious situation in terms of a world leadership. When you can't talk about democracy and terrorists abroad if you've got some of those same issues against your citizens right here at home.
Yeah, you know, but this thing here is you know, this is something that needs to be gotten control of. I don't think that retraining a police officer is going to help, because this behavior is not taught in the academy. This is something you grow up with. This is something you learn from your parents, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody is born a racist or anti-black or anti-white. You develop those things over a period of time.
You're taught that.
So hopefully, you know, we'll stay on top of the Sandra Bland thing and see what happens. There's also President Obama. President Obama is in Kenya, or he should be near Kenya right now. You know, I'm like, that's going to be an extraordinary security effort for the Secret Service with all that's going on down there with the roving gangs of militants and all kinds of people, you know, going buck wild down there. That's going to be like a nightmare for the president to be in Kenya, because, you know, that's the place where those little girls got snatched up. I mean, there's a lot going on down there.
Yeah, but you know what? While the president's there, they'll have relative calm, because you know they got them insulated like a new army's come there. So, I mean, while he's there, they'll protect the president, but he also, that level of security will help the people in that country.
Yeah, so at least while the president is there, you can't, nothing will probably happen, right? While
at least not where he is.
Is there. But here we go with the birthers again, and I can't understand, you know, this is something that was discussed and passed over. You know, the Republicans in the last couple of elections collected a lot of money, and they had enough money to investigate this. They had enough money to track the president's lineage, and, you know, and they didn't find anything. But you have these psychopaths, and as a matter of fact, Donald Trump was one of them. One of the people who was a real birther putting ads in newspapers and saying that the president really wasn't born yet. Donald Trump is deferring some of that stuff now, because when they asked him about it, you know, he kind of deferred it a little bit. He really didn't engage in it. He deferred it. But,
they got all this footage on Donald. They're getting ready to destroy him. I mean, like you mentioned, the ads that he took out on the president as a birther, these what he did to those Central Park Five, the young men who were later found innocent, he took out full-page ads against them. I was watching video footage of him talking about he was a Democrat.
Right. And then he dumped his wife after she helped him get where he was trying to go.
Well, he was talking to this faith group over the weekend. Last weekend, where he that's where I think he criticized John McCain.
Right, he said he wasn't a veteran. He said he wasn't a hero.
Traditional, very conservative, faith-based group who, you know, the flag, marriage, and God. And here Donald Trump's been married umpteen times.
Yeah, and he said, right, he's been married. You're right. He dumped Ivana when she showed a couple wrinkles. When she started to get a little on the old side, he's like, oh, no, can't handle this. So he dumped her, dumped Ivana, and got Marla Maples, and he got somebody else. And now he's with Melania, who's in her 30s, and he's really in his 60s, so she's probably more like a trophy wife than anything else.
Wait a minute, and listen. They had one of his classmates at the Wharton School of Business who got his yearbook. And said, you know, Wharton is probably one of the premier business schools in the country. And so a lot of them are in very significant places, either corporate America or entrepreneurs themselves. And they said, none of the people that were really doing anything at Wharton even remember Donald. So they went and got the yearbook. He didn't even have a picture in there.
Right. But he said he went there. Yeah,
he did go there. He graduated from there. But what they were saying was a lot of people didn't even know him. You know, Donald talked about how he did, but Fred Trump left him with a significant amount of holding. The man had holdings here in New Jersey. He was in the outer boroughs invested in real estate. Donald took the family into Manhattan because he bought some distressed properties and made them successful. But, you know, listen, he didn't start out with a hole in his shoe.
He was
pretty well off with a major start to even try to go into Manhattan.
Right, he can't say that he came from nothing because
his father. Right, he can't say it. No, he cannot. He cannot say it.
He can't say that.
Yeah,
so I think
the Republicans better hurry up and dump the chump, Trump.
Yeah, they're gonna try to do something with him, and like I said, he was one of the birthers. So this is this is so stupid. After 6.5 years of President Obama, you know, if there was anything going on with his background, with the president's background, they would have found out about it, and they did. So, it's such a stupid notion. And, you know, I think that birther thing will be going on even after the president leaves office. But, you know, we got another thing going on here with this theater shooting. And I got to tie this in, Mayway, to open carry laws. Because, you know, gun laws, just look back at what people thought that the death penalty would do. Oh, the death penalty is going to stop. Death penalty is going to stop killing. You know, the Rockefeller drug laws is going to stop people from using drugs, stop them from selling them. And it had no effect. The Rockefeller drug laws had no effect on drug dealing, drug sales, nothing like that. And the penalties for murder, life in prison, the gas chamber, had no effect on murder. Because people still were getting murdered at the rate that they are today. Like President Obama said, less than 100 people have been killed by terrorists this year. But tens of thousands of people have been killed by each other, by gun violence in America this year.
Yeah, but you know, he's making that argument opposite of what you're making, Ron. He wants more control over guns. And you're saying you want people to have the open carry, to be able to build.
That's
open
right,
carry.
Because there is no control over guns, anyway. There's no control over guns right now. If somebody wants a gun, they can get it. Criminals get guns. The only thing the gun laws do is they hurt people like me and others who don't have a record, who do own weapons and can't take it outside. Yeah. And I'm going to get some open carry advocates here. I've heard about an organization today. I'm going to reach out to them and get them on this show, because we're sitting ducks you're sitting at the traffic lights, you're a sitting duck, depending on what time it is. And this is unfair to folks who work every day, who play by the rules, and these criminals are walking around with guns like it's nothing, shooting people, stealing their cars, stealing their property, and you're an law-abiding citizen, and because of these open carry, because of New Jersey's.
Well, Ron, in certain places, I think Texas is one of them.
Right, but in New Jersey.
Texas, I think Florida, it has a reduced crime there.
Well, we don't know. We have to look at the statistics, but I tell you what, at least you got a shot. It's not that the people who carry guns are going around, policing the neighborhoods and stopping.
No, what I'm just saying is that the assumption is just like. You know, we take the same argument you make about the death penalty, the Rockefeller law in New York, all those things that people assume were going to be a detriment. So, we assume by having more access to carrying will hopefully keep some crimes from happening. That's the assumption, right?
Right, but we have to try it before we can. I mean, there are some states who do have open carry, but I bet you dollars, donuts, man, when the criminals, I would bet that their criminal history or criminal records are a lot less than what's going on up here in New Jersey, because down there, you have to, see, up here, you can't assume, we know that people are not allowed to carry guns. The criminals know it, too. So, every now and then they'll run into a cop and get shot or something, but the assumption is that the person you rob is not going to be carrying a gun. And for the most part, that is true. Now, if there was open carry laws here, because I heard it on the radio today, somebody else was saying that if there were open carry laws here, maybe these criminals would think twice before they walk up to somebody and try to rob them.
Well, Well, I don't know. I don't think they got the open carry law in those places, and I don't think there's reduced crime. We'll check the data, but I don't think that Texas says they got a, the crime rate has went down because they got the open carry law, Florida, where they have the open carry law. The fear is, for many people, is not, you know, and listen, it's very difficult to judge. So, you know, responsible people like yourself be able to manage that, but there are more irresponsible people. And, you know, the more guns we have out there in people's hands, the more susceptible people are. Now, listen, no matter what people do, they go to the range, they learn gun safety, all of that. That's wonderful. Allegedly, they are not as trained as a police officer about restrain and the use of force. All I can say is if what we're seeing, not by all police officers, not even by a majority of police officers, really a minority of police officers that have created, but you only need 5 or 10% or 1% of a group to make a crisis. So now we've got these extra added guns. So do we become a vigilante state? What's the guy? Bernard Getz is a classic example. He got robbed. He said even though there wasn't there no carry, he decided to carry on his own. I think you have the capacity to see in certain places, and depending on what the criteria is for people to carry, you could have epidemic proportions happen. Now, the other argument is you don't see that happening in Texas and Florida, too. I mean, I don't hear where there's a crisis of people getting shot because they got the open carry law, but you also don't hear that it's been a detriment to that much to reducing of crime. So we'll have to look at to see how that plays out. I think it's only been a couple years that they've had these laws in certain states.
Well, see, but the thing is, though, you have an opportunity to protect yourself. It's not so much about reducing crime, because that's the policeman's job. But the police officers can't be everywhere. The police officers certainly can't be in a movie theater where somebody stands up and starts shooting people. And I think there was somebody there who had it, who was carrying a weapon, who was trained in using it. Because we're not talking about just giving people guns. You know, we're not talking about that. The question becomes
what kind of training will they be at the same? They won't be at the same level.
Well, you have to qualify. Just like if you get a job in New Jersey, if you get a job that requires you to have a gun, you have to qualify, which means you have to go to the range. I mean, you have to go to the range, and a licensed firearm instructor has to assess how you handle that weapon and how you shoot it. And if he doesn't think that you're ready, or you, if you fail, you fail. If you haven't handled the weapon properly, you fail. Let's take a hold on. Let's see. Let me take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come right back with more, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Wayne Smith, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching out of society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more. Of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, we're back. It's about 50 minutes before the hour. It's Ron Kelly Show. Wayne Smith is here. And we're doing our thing for you as we do Fridays, every Friday at 6 p.m. Drive time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Back to the show. 347-426-3214 if you have an opinion. 347-426-3214, or you can post something on Facebook page, Rock of the Show, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now we're talking about the latest shooting, the latest random shooting. And even in the, in, you know, we're talking about that, and I could defer Mayor Wayne to the Charleston shooting, where people are, you know, like this guy in Louisiana, where it was that he shot those people. He just stood up and the world is getting more and more dangerous. And folks have to be able to protect themselves. Now, the people who pay the taxes, like I posted on Facebook today about Christy, for example, who has an army of state troopers following around him and his family. They don't have anything to worry about, you know. And the people, as you know, courtesy of the taxpayers. Now, those same taxpayers are not allowed. To protect themselves, we're sitting ducks.
And all that confusion in that movie theater, don't you think we'd have had more fatalities if somebody tried to shoot that? So let me ask you something. Well, as part of this proposal for more access to carry, will people have to get psychological?
They go through the same. When I got my carry permit, you have to. Submit, first of all, you have to submit to a search. You know, first you got to get a New Jersey State firearms card. You have to do that first.
Then you have to be able to purchase the gun first.
You have to get the firearms card first. You have to jump through a lot of hoops to get a gun. You got to get a firearms.
Psychological.
Well, no, you don't take any psychological test, but you sign a waiver that allows the state to search through to see if you have any psychological problems in your history, in your past.
Right, but this is my problem. So if you were in a psychiatric, you know what they do? They check at each county in New Jersey has an adjuster, and they keep the records for
If you've ever been in a psych ward or anything like that, that's
they have those records. But now, if you haven't and your psychological issues are current and we give you a gun, and that's what they're finding out what happened with some of these recent people, that these people had exhibited tendencies to have psychological issues. And they got a hold of a gun. Some of them got it illegally, and they had not been. There had been no psychological wherever they were. Had been no psychological requirement. Now I think it should be a standard if you're going to carry. I think you should have it, and there's been a call for that. Even to own a gun, if you should have a psychological thing.
Well, if you got a psychological issue,
but we should test you before we give you let you buy a gun.
But the Connecticut school shooter, that guy managed to get a gun. Somebody gave it to him. My point is that these people get guns. You know, however they get them, and they go around and shoot people. So
a few of these were people, and that's why the call began to be even to buy a gun. Because some of these people bought guns legitimately. They bought the gun. Not that they were licensed to carry, but they illegally took the gun out into the street. People can do that now.
Everybody can do that. Anybody can buy a gun and take it out. The criminals do it all the time.
Huh?
The criminals do it all the time. They buy guns.
Well, they buy
illegal
guns.
Right, they buy illegal guns and they take them on the street. See, my point is this. A person who's a law-abiding citizen is not going to turn into a criminal just because they have a gun. You know, it's not that important. If you're a law-abiding citizen...
We allow people...
We do know. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you're a law-abiding citizen. You're not going
to... Yeah, but you can still be crazy.
Well, they don't find out until you do something. But
that's my point. We don't want to put a gun in anybody's hand. Unless we do some psychological profile to see if they want even owning the gun.
But people can beat psychological profiles anyway. Police officers do it all the time. They beat police officers who are rampant racist, K-Klan members. They beat the psychological test all the time. Now, to be a police officer, you have to go through a psychologist.
By and large, most of them, as we just said earlier, most of them do their job professionally, and most people get through their careers without any issues.
Right, but the average person who is a law-abiding citizen who has never been in trouble before and has no criminal or psychological history should be allowed to carry a gun. Because people get guns, crazy people get guns. The guy, matter of fact, the boy, the 21-year-old who shot the people in the church, somebody gave him that gun.
Somebody gave him the gun. Not that the state authorized him to have a gun. See, that's
right.
My problem. You have...
My problem is I don't want to be sitting there. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I work hard every day, and I pay for what I have. And my problem is that I don't want some clown walking up to me, sticking a gun in my face, or if I can see him coming, and there ain't nothing I can do about it. That's my problem.
I lived in a city all my life. My wife is a police officer, and she carries a gun. And, I think we got too many. President Obama said, you know what he said? It was his biggest failure as president? Not being able to get more stringent gun laws.
But the gun laws hurt people who are law-abiding citizens. The laws don't mean crap to somebody who's not going to. The law is only effective as it is for those who obey it. And there's a lot of people running around right now who are not obeying the law, who carry weapons, who shoot people, who rob people. The gun laws don't affect them, but the gun laws affect somebody like, well, not necessarily me, but the gun laws affect a law-abiding citizen who wants to have a weapon to protect themselves, who wants to have a fighting chance when they walk out of their door.
I think more people will get killed if we have more permissive gun laws. And not that law-abiding citizens don't have a right to have a gun, because the Second Amendment of the Constitution says they have a right to have one to protect their home. I don't have one other than if my wife was not a cop, we would not have one in this home. We would use other measures to protect our home and our property. I just think the heat of the moment, more domestic situations have occurred because you got a gun in the house.
See, if somebody wants to get a gun, they're going to get it. There's people who, those are accidents do happen where people don't put the weapon up, they don't take care of it properly, and the kid winds up shooting another kid. That stuff does happen. But when you're out there in the street, you want to have a chance, a fighting chance. Because you don't know if the person is going to get killed. You don't know. These days, people, they rob you, they want to kill you too.
So that's, that's why Trayvon Martin's not alive today, Because in Florida, you got to stand your ground. And so here was a guy coming from the store, and George Zimmerman says one thing, but ain't no dead man is going to be around to tell a tale. That, he was the judge, jury, and executioner. And that's the fear of having more permissive gun laws, that you're going to have the George Zimmermans of the world be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Right, but I think that, that you should have a fighting chance. I do believe that I'm going to look at Arizona, Texas, and Florida. I'm going to look up the crime statistics of those three Right, and we got about four and a half minutes left, we're going to bring that conversation back, because I do believe that people, regardless of whether the crime goes down or not, people should have an opportunity to,
that's what they did in the Wild Wild West, Ron.
People are not going to do that today. There are thousands, millions of people out there who obey the law. The people who don't live in open carry states, they obey the law. And they don't take their guns outside, and they don't go around killing people. If you're not predisposed to killing people, then you're not going to go out there and start killing people because you have a gun. It's, I don't believe that's going to happen. Guns don't
All I'm going to say, the strongest argument I can give you right now, until we're going to have this discussion, I'm sure, over the course of the next few weeks.
Oh, yes, we will, because I'm going to be advocating for open
gun laws. But all I would say is Trayvon Martin would be alive if they didn't have that.
But Trayvon Martin is dead because there's a fool who, you know, because of this.
And listen, they're George Zimmerman's, wherever they go, have that open gun state. That's what we're gonna see more and more George Zimmerman.
I don't think so. But you know, I'm gonna do the research. I'm gonna do the homework, and we'll come back to this because I don't think that people are gonna go out. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you've been a law-abiding citizen all your life. A gun is not gonna turn you into a criminal. It's just not. And there are millions of people in this country who live in states with tough gun laws, and they don't take their guns outside, and they don't kill people. Because if you are not predisposed to going out and killing somebody, you're not going to do it. I just don't agree with that. I don't think that having a gun is going to turn you into a criminal. I just don't believe that. You know, I don't believe
that. No, I'm not saying it's going to turn you into a criminal. All I'm saying, the propensity of violence by more permissive. My point is that if we have the less guns we have, the less horror stories we're going to hear. The more guns we have, I think the more horror stories we're going to hear.
Well, you know what, man? I have a gun. I've had my gun for about 6 or 7 years. I've never even thought about shooting anybody.
And you have your gun at home, and if somebody would across the sanctity of your home while you're in there peacefully engaging and living your life, if somebody come in there trying to harm you and you get that hold of that gun, you have the right to use it in there to protect your home.
I've been on duty and I've been like done armed security and stuff like that where people did belligerent with me. I've been in situations where people have challenged me while I was carrying my gun. I didn't reach for it. I handled it a different way. You know what I'm saying? So, because I'm not a killer. I'm not a killer, and a gun is not going to turn me into a killer. See, because I can still fight. So pulling a gun is not going to be the first thing I do because I have to remember that.
That's what these young boys do. We grew up in the era.
Yeah, because they out there with guns and they don't have clearance for them. Carrying them around.
But my point is, it's a cultural thing. The more permissive. See, we didn't have access to as many guns as they have now. There were always people who had guns illegal. I'm not going to say there was no guns. But the ethos of the street at that time, and I think you're expressing the same ethos, if we had a problem on the street, we settled it with our hands. Today, they don't settle it with their hands. The proliferation of guns, illegal or legal, that's how you settle problems in the streets now.
Right, but those people are not law-abiding citizens. Those are people who carry guns, who run the streets and wreak havoc upon the community. That's who those people are on Ellis Ave and on the border of Newark and Irvington who are running them up the street.
Those are in Patterson, too.
Yeah, in Patterson and wherever else.
And a couple of them in Lower Montclair, too.
So I haven't seen many of them. But we'll pick this up next. Oh, we're off the air now. We'll pick this up next week. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you back in next week for another exciting Ron Kelly show. So until then, man, Wayne, be good. Say hello to the wife.
Have a good weekend.
All right, say hello to the wife for me. We'll see everybody back here next week.
Right.